other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, a new podcast on the internet sponsored by Paperweights. Keep your paper down with weight. My name is Aaron, here are the personal pals Dave.
Babies.
Brick.
Hello, babies.
And Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Today we're talking about, this podcast is about literature, but also sex and presidents, right? This is a sex episode for sure. We're talking about our turn offs, not our turn ons this time. So you just talk about our turn ons, this is our turn offs. But turn offs when it comes to books. When you're looking for a book to read or something to pick out for your reading list, what sort of makes you put this book back on the shelf or say, like, oh, I'm not going to check that out probably? Things you read on the back cover or things you read in a review potentially that make you think, like, probably not for me. I get a big one we've all talked about before is books about writers, right? But maybe beyond that.
Yeah. We did it. Did we do a whole episode about that?
Several. Separate, yeah, okay. A whole shadow podcast about it.
I wonder if we've done this before too, because the first things that jump out at me are deckled pages and maybe font that's too small. And I remember too talking about, I like Marquez, and I picked out one of his books from the shelf once, and I can't remember even what the title was, but it's just one paragraph. The whole book is one paragraph with no breaks. Oh, wow. And that turned me off.
Yeah, I think we talked a lot about what we don't like when we talked about what we do. Mm-hmm. But I guess maybe the question is more like, if you come in, like, content-wise, if you're curious about, like, if you've already gotten to the point where you're reading the jacket copy, what's the tipping point between maybe I'll flip through the chapters and or buy this book, and what's this is going back on the shelf?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, it's tough. So we started reading this book called Such a Fun Age
for
our book club. It's listed, like, the jacket copy is like this black babysitter works for a rich white lady. And then one day she has to take the kid out, like, late at night when the woman and her husband are fighting, and she takes him to a grocery store, and a security guard, like, thinks that she kidnapped the baby because she's black, and, like, this whole thing. And I was like, oh God. And that I probably would have not picked up, just because a literary novel that's about, like, that kind of it's about race, but in that kind of glancing way, you know, where it's like, there's it kind of a ripped from the headlines thing, where it's like, oh, some, you know, somebody at a grocery store got almost arrested, but not actually arrested. But luckily that book swerves away from that. I don't know. I guess I would say there's a certain kind of literary novel that it's like kind of central drama is weak. Like, there's like, it's not like a big conflict. It's like a misunderstanding almost. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I was also going to say, like, adding to that, anything that has a trite discussion of contemporary social issues, I would say, or political issues feels like a major turnoff to me. Always hard to, or not always easy to tell, because just the back jacket copy or review, for instance.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, I don't really want to read a book about that in such a shitty way.
I'm with you, because honestly, I really like books that do that. What I don't like, books that set out and tell me that's what they're
going to do. That's a good way to put it. Like, if it's too coming in with all sirens, like, hey, this book's about this, it's like, ugh, okay.
Right.
We've talked about hype too. That can definitely influence decisions. Like, try and avoiding it, I think, is the inclination for all four of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to expectations.
I don't want that to be the point of the book. Right. And because when it is, the book's never good. You know, good books are where those things come through a well-crafted story or character or whatever. If it's just like, this is a book about how Trump's an asshole, it's like, well, I don't, you know. I want to read that as much as I want to read, like, New York Times profiles of Midwestern Republicans. Like, I just don't want to read it, and I don't care.
Like, anything labeled the It Book of the Summer, is I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah.
Much less read it.
It definitely feels like there's, maybe it's when, like, the book has already decided what the moral answer is in a situation. Like, so that, for that book, obviously, this is terrible that the security guard, like, almost had this woman arrested for babysitting. Like, is that a debate? Like, yeah, I agree. It's not great. Like, some people are assholes. Like, what else can you say about that kind of a thing? As opposed to something like we were just talking about Watchmen, like, that kind of, whenever it kind of deals with a social issue, it comes at it from, like, three or four different situations, you know, like, in angles. Right. And it's never easy to solve problems, you know, that are just, like, can be dismissed.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's that, like, clapper phenomenon, right? Where it's like, if you tell a joke where the punchline is just about how your political beliefs are right and so are the people that you're talking to, And the laughter is like, ah, you're so right about that. It's like, well, okay, sure, that's fine. But like, a joke should have more to say than just like, hey, we agree that this political issue is right or wrong. You shouldn't be seeking like easy applause like that. Same thing here, you shouldn't seek easy approval because like, oh, your book's about this thing that we all agree upon. It's like, yeah, okay, good. Well,
right.
What have we done here then? Not much. Right. I feel like a good example of that, of not doing that, maybe, was Gone Girl. Like a book that was really popular, but I think had a very complex and like hard to parse like feminist message, right? It wasn't easy to answer that book. I don't think the book was like, this is all good or bad. It was like, well, there's some good and bad here in complex ways. And I liked it for that reason, because it didn't want to give you a pat on the back for having finished it.
And it was kind of the turning, taking that kind of, you know, easy to solve book and turning it inside out. Cause then like, it's like, oh, this guy, you know, his wife disappears and like, he didn't do it, but like the police think he's guilty. But then like a third of the way through, she comes back and it's like, okay, that's not like the whole, that's not the problem. You know, it's like figuring out who kidnapped his wife.
Right. And like, there's a lot of, I feel like in the wake of Gone Girl, there's a lot of books like that, like Woman on the Train. And there's, I mean, any number of titles that have the exact same like syntax, whatever, that are like someone witnesses a murder or suspects a murder. And then they eventually figure out that it's like the bad person who did it. And then you are like, well, good, the bad person was punished. Whereas this in Gone Girl was like, well, they're both bad. Like everyone's guilty here to some extent. And even though she's a murderer and he's not, I guess, like he still was obviously an asshole. Right?
Oh yeah. They're all assholes.
And so you're not rooting for him to like get away or to be like validated. You're just like, oh, everyone sucks here. And I feel in a good way, I feel bad having read this.
It is most of those kind of book of the summer ones that are like, you know, somebody like there's either murder or somebody has lost their memory and they don't know like who to trust are usually terrible. There's one that sticks out that somehow got made into a movie called Before I Go to Sleep. And it was like,
we watched the movie.
We did an episode about it.
We all did.
At your house.
Holy shit. I must have gotten so drunk.
Yeah, it
was basically like this woman wakes up, she doesn't remember anything, and it's like, who does she trust? Like who is doing this to her? Her husband or her doctor? And then it turns out it's her husband. It's like, okay, great, fuck. Like great.
Wah, wah. And every 6 seconds of the movie there was a semi truck driving by making the loudest sound possible.
Mark was jump there scares. For that.
Every fucking scene. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
That was the Nicole Kidman movie, right?
Yeah.
I got another one that's not that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's going to sound like an asshole, but if the writer sounds like a schmuck, I don't want to read the book.
You mean like in the bio?
Yeah, if it's like, you know, who so-and-so loves like hanging out with her husband and enjoying the literary fruits of her.
And
feeding her cats milk and watching them sit by the sunset in Colorado. It's like, I don't. I there's nothing from your worldview that's going to translate to a book I want to read.
That's interesting.
So I don't want to read it. I feel like those are giveaway every time.
Huh.
Plus maybe anyone who describes their degree as holding an MFA or whatever.
Yeah.
That's funny because I also have the schmuck rule, but that what you described, Brick, sounds nice to me. I like that, but I don't like the schmuckness to me is like the literary culture schmuckness. Like was published in these magazines that did this and this and this and blah blah blah. That's also like, I don't care. I don't want to hear about your resume.
Yeah, I literally I read them. I want to know how old they are, where they're from, and if it's their first book or not. And that's like really all I want to know from their bio.
Should be like,
you know, if it tries to be funny.
Yes, that's always rough for sure. I'm also guilty of that. I've never had to do a bio. Always trying to do funny. It's always terrible.
Yeah, but I wouldn't read
your book. For sure. And you shouldn't. It'd be bad. I have one that's just like, it's just a content bias. And there's nothing, I can't explain it. I don't know why, but I do not like novels or anything really that includes movies, TV shows, comics set in the Old West. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
There are some Westerns that I have learned to like, and I'm less sort of critical than I was before, but like anytime it's like, this is all this, I'm just like, nope, I don't want to read it. I just want to read modern, like 20th century onward, basically, is my way I want to live. So Old West was about.
You like the Sisters Brothers a lot, though.
I didn't read it.
Huh.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah, it was awesome.
You too.
I watched the movie. I liked the movie. It was good. And it's like, so it's not like a hard, it's not a forever bias, but it's just like, if I'm looking for a book and one is set in the 60s and one set in the 1860s, I'm going for the one in the 1960s for sure.
So Back to the Future 3 was rough. Rough go for you.
But I'm a big fan of giant piles of poop, so it did work out.
I feel that way about Vietnam stuff.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and the look, there's I don't like Wild West that much either, and there's exceptions that I really like, and the same with Vietnam. Right. Like, there's a couple of Vietnam movies I really like, and a couple of books, but for the most part, it's not something I look to immerse myself in or read about.
Things We Carry, Tim O'Brien?
Yeah, that's a great book.
Okay, right.
Obviously, the Wolf's Hour is a great book, but beyond that...
Oh, that was Vietnam? I thought that was...
No, it might have been World War II. Yeah, because he fought Hitler.
Yeah.
Colonel Block was a Nazi.
Sure, as we established. Yeah, that's an anti-preference. That's like if you... Or that's the opposite. You will always read books about werewolves at World War II.
Yeah, I mean, the werewolves will trump most. And with Vietnam, it's kind of like... Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I got my head around every angle of commentary with regard... Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not much new around Vietnam and counterculture stuff from that era that, like, is going to interest me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It does seem like the war that people were allowed to be critical of, and so people lead into it, and then the Gulf War and the Iraq War and Afghanistan and all the other wars we've been involved in or still involved in, we're not allowed to be as critical of them.
I mean, well, also, now, honestly, war books in general, I'm not really into. Okay. I just don't.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, World War II is a little different. For some reason, that interests me, and the others don't. But
yeah, but that's a heavily mythologized war. So whereas the current wars we're in.
Yeah, maybe. But so is the Civil War, and that's even higher on my list than Vietnam, where I don't care.
So no North and South for you.
Yeah. Also, people that are into the Civil War are fucking weird.
Like reenactors and.
Yeah, it's a weird like time period to fascinate your hobbies about. You know, that's not the right use of that word.
Can you fascinate as a verb? You can. You fascinate me.
That's true. Yeah, we're going intransitive. Yeah.
That's a dad thing, I think, right? That's like you become a dad and then you get in a civil
that's
war.
That's a fucking racist uncle thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. For me, it's a racist uncle
thing. Newt Gingrich and Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, like people that, like, no one obsesses about the Civil War
and
is also, like, a passionate. Defender of human rights, you know, it's always people that want, like, to consider Robert E. Lee in the pantheon. It's like, fuck off.
Kind of wish maybe it had gone the other way.
Yeah, like, what a fucking horrible thing to romanticize.
Did you guys ever watch the show Peep Show?
Yeah, loved it.
It's like a British comedy.
I never got far.
There's one episode. It's hilarious. I think it's on Hulu. But there's one episode where one of the two main characters, who's like a legit history buff, and it takes place in Britain, so it can't have been the Civil War. But he goes to some kind of history reenactment site. And he makes a new friend there, and he's like, oh, that's so great, you know, like, somebody who's into history just like I am. And then, like, halfway through the episode, he discovers that the guy's a neo-Nazi, and he's like, it's that exact thing. It's like, the actual historian is so rare.
Yeah, history buff, especially an amateur history buff, is always, like, a red flag, for sure, when you're talking to someone.
Insufferable.
Yeah, or also, like, potentially, like, looking to have an argument about, like, Nazism or, like, eugenics or whatever. It's like, actually,
a particular campaign.
Yeah, people are like, well, actually, if you study the history, you'll find that actually the first slave owners were Africans. It's like, oh, Jesus, like, that kind of bullshit. Yeah. Or you're like, the person is trying to well actually history.
Yeah.
Those are the best conversations in the party because they come out early and you're just like, I don't need to talk to you.
Go.
If you're bringing up slavery, we got nothing.
Let's play beer pong instead.
Yeah, let's just backdoor eugenics while we pour up some car bombs and get the fuck out of here.
Backdoor eugenics is another podcast spinoff of the show to go along with 101 Scary Kid Jokes Ranked.
We're going to actually do that one. So
I mentioned it just for that purpose, make sure it stays in the memory so we do actually do it. I don't want to forget it because it's a great idea. I've been thinking about it a lot since we recorded last time.
It's going to take a little legwork. I have a plan on how it's going to happen.
Did not know when we started this episode that we would end with eugenics and beer pong, but... Should have.
Well, let us know on Twitter things you don't look for. Ooh, a better way to phrase that. Things you are turned off by in a book. The worst sentence imaginable. We're on Twitter at YakBabies, and you can email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts there. Also, get us on Patreon, patreon.com/yakbabies. For $1 a month, you can have access to our bonus podcast. This is where we put all the stuff we're not supposed to... We don't want it in the main feed, all the things we're ashamed of, or basically blackmail ourselves for you. For your entertainment, so go check that out and enjoy yourselves. Until then, Yak Babies, yak it off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all the loyal listeners, and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, and William Howard Taft.